I am J.R. Pajaro. My life used to be centered only on me, my happiness, and my world. Because I was the youngest and the only boy in my family, I was spoiled, lived recklessly, and did everything on a whim. My high school life was a complete mess. I was branded as a bad influence, but that only challenged me to live a more adventurous life. At age 13, I was smoking, having premarital sex, and dating girls left and right. And everything just seemed cool. By 17, my desire for more adventure got me into the crazy world of drugs, and I became heavily addicted. When I wasn't using drugs, I was selling drugs just so I could support my own addiction. It was a perfect cycle. When the pill ecstasy was introduced, I got a good source that allowed me to sell thousands worth of these pills every weekend. Life could not have been any better. But all that stopped when in February of 2000, I got set up by the Philippine Drug Enforcement Agency, PDEA, and I got busted. My world crumbled as I was brought to Camp Crame, blindfolded and in fear of my life. On the days that followed my arrest, there was a media frenzy. PDEA reported to have caught the first and biggest drug dealer of ecstasy. My name was everywhere, and worse, my parents and family were put to deep shame and humiliation. That bothered me for a time, but because of family connections, instead of time in prison, I got away with 7 months of rehab instead. This suddenly made me feel untouchable, and I found myself going back to using, selling, and buying drugs all over again. Although the authorities were keeping a close eye on me, they never suspected my involvement with drugs again, but not so with my family. Because I was selling so much drugs, money became so easy to me that it was impossible for me to hide it from them. My family would see me buy jewelries, appliances, and clothes left and right, and I soon developed another struggle, which is credit card fraud. I bought stuff here and there with money that wasn't even mine. When they confronted me, I denied everything, but at that point, they did not believe me anymore. They tried everything to catch me, but to no avail. They grounded me for a year, tested me for drugs every month, sent me to a psychiatrist, and even brought me back to rehab. But all that didn't stop me. Then one day, my dad invited me, together with my girlfriend, to join a CCF retreat. This seemed okay with me since I enjoyed meeting new people, and I considered it as a vacation with my ex-girlfriend. Little did I know, it was here where Jesus wanted to speak to my heart. We were talking about the Father's love, and I heard that the Lord loved me, and no matter what I did in my life, He would still continue to love me. On that day, I opened my heart to Jesus and surrendered my life to Him. I wanted Him to fix my life and give me a brand new start. When I got back from the retreat, I reflected on my addiction and lifestyle and first committed to give up my smoking, drinking, and drugs. That seemed fairly easy, but I found myself struggling with the money issues. Money became my security. Even after claiming to have accepted God, I could still not totally give up selling drugs for fear that I would run out of funds to support my desires if I did. Money was my God, and that was the only thing stopping me from getting closer to Jesus. Through the faithful prayers of my family and continuous attendance in D group and Sunday services, slowly Jesus molded my heart and made me realize that security should not be in money or in any material wealth, but in Him. One night, by faith, I surrendered my love for money by pledging to the building fund an amount twice of my savings, which was really everything I had in my savings for a year. I did not know how I would be able to come up with that amount after vowing to give up all my illegal transactions. But by God's grace, I was able to give 50% of my pledge to the building fund. And that is everything I had. For a year, I lived on my weekly allowance only and survived easily on that. But when the end of the year was nearing, I suddenly got worried about the remaining 50% of my pledge. I did not know where I would get the funds to fulfill my pledge. But come December, my sister allowed me to take charge of the food stall during a Christmas bazaar. And because of this, I was able to give the remaining 50% of my pledge. Truly, the Lord is so faithful. He taught me that if I completely depend on Him for my daily provisions, He will send me through. As I see Him providing for me daily, my worries about the future get less and less. And my life has become far happier and worthy. I have learned to appreciate the small blessings in life. And I would not trade this life of daily dependence on Him from the worthy life I lived before. Right after college, I joined the real estate business. And in less than a year, I got promoted and was blessed to be awarded the sales champion of my company for 2008. And plus, the amount of money that I gave was returned times 7. My confidence and strength could only have come from God. I experienced that when you give more to Him, He will bless you even more. And this I am forever grateful. Today, I am a bold and faithful servant of the Lord. I am part of a D group and actively serving in singles ministry, as well as the CCF Eastwood Promo Ministry. The Lord has truly proven to me that He is the only source of security. When I decided to give my life to the Lord, only then did I experience and appreciate the real meaning of life. Please pray for me as I continue my walk with the Lord, that I may be victorious over temptations and that I will continually serve Him faithfully. To God be all the glory.
Praise God for what He has done in the life of JR. By the way, if you are our guest, we want to welcome you. And this is what CCF is all about. We are not into monument building. It's about life transformation. What God has done for JR, that's what He wants to do with all of us. Praise God. Let's give Him a clap of appreciation for the miracle He has done. We will pray for JR in a short while. Now, when is our 25th anniversary? When? We are going to meet where? Araneta. When? August 30. So August 30, there's no 12 o'clock service. You choose 10 o'clock or 3 o'clock. May I suggest, maybe you want to choose what? 3 o'clock? Get the tickets, invite your friends, so that you have reserved place. 3 o'clock, 10 o'clock, make a choice. I suggest you go once. By the grace of God, the building project is ongoing. God did a miracle. Before, they told us, you are crazy, because you are buying a big place. But just look around you. We have 5 services on Sunday. It's standing room. By the grace of God, the lot was offered to us for 10 years to pay. We finished that in 1 year. Praise God. The building in phase 1, which we are now, by the grace of God, God has provided the money. Praise God. The last phase, we will raise the money in the last phase. Between now and at the end, that will take care of the inside, the air conditioning system, the power line. Now, don't be surprised why we don't talk about this every Sunday. We only talk about this maybe once every 2 months to update you, okay? And don't be surprised when we don't pass the offering boxes. You know why? I believe giving is between you and God. And if you are our guest, don't be obligated to give anything. If you are our guest, we have a special room for you. Coffee is free, cookies are free, counseling is free, everything is free. If you are old member, don't keep going there to eat cookies and coffee. Praise God. For our scripture reading today, I want us to turn to John chapter 6. Now, last Sunday, what did we discuss? John chapter 6, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Today, we will discuss, after the miracle of the 5 loaves, 2 fish, what happened? So turn your Bibles with me. John chapter 6, we will begin, I believe, from verse 16. You got your Bibles with you? All right. Please just stand up. All right. As you see the verse, you can read it aloud or read that in your heart. Ready? Go.
When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake, got into a boat, and went back across the lake towards Capernaum. Night came on, and Jesus still had not come to them. By then a strong wind was blowing and stirring up the water. The disciples had rowed about 3 or 4 miles when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Reached land at the place they were heading for.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this afternoon that we have the freedom to gather together, the freedom to worship you, the freedom to read the Bible, the freedom to sing. Lord, you have blessed us. You have blessed this country tremendously. At the same time, we still have many problems. We want to pray especially for our politicians. We want to pray for our leaders, that you be the one to give them wisdom to make good decisions. Lord, I pray that you will transform this country. Help us overcome poverty. Help us to have good government officials, good leaders who will love you more than they love themselves. We thank you for JR, for what you have done in his life. I pray for JR that you will protect him. Protect him from the temptations of the evil one. Lord, I know Satan is out there to attack him. Will you just guard him? Bless his work. Bless his business. Guard him from going back into drugs. Guard him from womanizing. Lord, he cannot do this on his own. He needs your power. And I thank you for empowering him. I pray for his future. I pray for his career. I pray for his ministry, that you continue to use him mightily. Bless his family. And now, Lord God, I pray for all of us here today. Some are hurting. Some are discouraged. Will you be the one to speak to all of us, to minister to us? We thank you for CCF. Thank you for reminding us our purpose is in sharing with people about Jesus, helping people transform their lives to loving you, to following you. Remind us, Lord, this is not a religion. This is about a relationship with you. Speak to me. Open our eyes. Give all of us a humble heart that we will understand your truth. I now commit to you the rest of the afternoon. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What is the purpose of the Gospel of John? Everybody, let's review. John chapter 20, verses 30-31. Let's read that together. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Everybody, this has been written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in His name. The Gospel of John was written for this purpose, that you may believe that Jesus is what? Look at the grammar. Jesus is the Christ, the only Messiah, the Son of God. This is what differentiates Jesus from all other religious founders, from all other religious leaders, because Jesus is not just a man. He is the Son of God. He claimed to be the Savior. So how do you prove it? The Gospel of John was written to show us by His life, by His teachings, by His miracles, by His death and resurrection, that Jesus is not just a man. He is more than a prophet. He is the Son of God. There is no other religious leaders in the whole world that will come close to Jesus. You study all the religion of the world. Jesus is unique because Christianity is about Him, not just His teachings. So this morning, we will discuss another proof that Jesus is more than a man. So my topic today is very simple. It's called, wow, wow. You want to walk on water? All right, tell your neighbor, wow. Easy to remember. Now, how do you walk on water? Number one, you got to obey. Number two, got to get out of the boat. And number three, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. So how do you walk on water? Number one, you got to obey. I'll share with you how to obey. Number two, you got to get out of the boat. And number three, fix your eyes on Jesus. You want to experience wow in your life? You see, the Christian life is exciting. But if you don't know Jesus, for many people, it is the most boring existence. Because many people have wrong concept of Christianity. For most people, Christianity is going to a meeting like this, where you sing songs written 300 years ago, you sing hymns you don't even understand, and then you listen to a talk that you don't fully understand, and then you have Bible study. My goodness, that is boring, but that is not Christianity. Sunday is just a day when we gather together to worship the Lord. Christianity is Monday to Sunday. It's exciting. You want to learn to walk on water? Now, water means what? A supernatural power to overcome circumstances, difficult situations, problems. You need to learn to walk on water, yes or no? I don't know about you. How do you walk on water? Number one, obey. Number two, get out of the boat. Number three, fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, I don't know how to help you memorize this. My first message this morning, obey means get into the boat. Then you get out of the boat. When you get out of the boat, you fix your eyes on Jesus. Very easy to remember. Let's begin. Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus withdraw? He withdrew from the people because Jesus understood the hearts of the people. They wanted him to be king, not because of who he is. They wanted him to be king. According to Jesus, let's read this. Jesus said, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, shall give to you. On him the Father, even God, has set his seal. They said therefore to Jesus, what shall we do, that we may do the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he has sent. In other words, Jesus is saying, you come to me for the wrong reason, to be fed. If you seek after God because of material reasons, it's not good enough. You've got to come to God because you know who he is. The Savior, the Son of God. Jesus says, do not work for things that will perish. In other words, Jesus is not saying food is not important. He provided food. But he's saying that should not be your preoccupation. There are certain things in life that is more important than food. It has to do with your eternal destination, with your eternal well-being. It has to do with eternal life. You see, when people die, according to Jesus, and he is the only one qualified to tell us, there are two places to go. Whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. But this was taught by Jesus, by nobody else. Many people don't realize the teachings of heaven and hell was taught by Jesus, nobody else. Because he's the only one who knew. And that's why he came to die for us. He knew the reality of the blessedness of eternity with him, heaven. And he knows the horror of life without him. Let's continue reading. By the way, have you heard of the word evangeligo? You know, you come to Jesus with many reasons. It's okay, but you need to grow. What's evangeligo? You know, people come because their girlfriend, their boyfriend invited them. You know, the truth is this. In CCF, you have many handsome and beautiful women. That's the truth. Just look around you. Nice people, right? But if you come For that reason, not good enough. You will be transformed. I remember a friend of mine, he went to a meeting because he was after the girl. And then God transformed his life. He met Jesus, and he began to follow Jesus. Believe it or not, God will transform your motivation. I don't know why you are here this morning. For some people, because somebody invited you. That's good, but that's not the best reason. Someday you should come because you want to worship Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God, and you want to get to know Him better. Understand? So whatever is your motive, God wants you to grow. So let me ask you, why do you do what you are doing? You know, many people go to church out of obligation. I got to go. If going to church is an obligation, it is not good enough. You should worship Jesus because you love Him. But it's hard to love somebody you don't know. So the whole purpose of coming together, studying the book of John, is that you may know Him and fall in love with Jesus. So let's continue reading. In John chapter 6, verse 17, after getting into the boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark. Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to stir up because a strong wind was blowing. If you look at this verse, you will not know why the disciples had to go to the boat. You will only read they had to go to Capernaum. This is where I want you to learn to read the whole Bible. Because this miracle took place, it was written by Matthew, Mark, and John. So let's look at the perspective of Matthew, what happened. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat to go ahead of him to the other side. Now, let me ask you a question. Why were they in the boat? Answer? Why? Because Jesus asked them to go into the boat. You don't see this in the Gospel of John, but that's the reason they got into the boat, because Jesus told them to go into the boat. Now, listen to me. Are they obeying Jesus? Yes or no? Louder. Is it God's will for them in the boat? Yes, but notice, it is God's will, but look at verse 23. After he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Praise God. Jesus knew how to spend private time alone with God. I hope you learn to do the same, okay? In my case, I do this every morning. I spend private time with the Lord. It is the most important hour of my life, the morning time with the Lord. Some of us are too busy. You don't have time to meditate, to read the Bible, to pray. You need to spend time alone with God. Make it a habit. So Jesus spent time alone with the Lord. Jesus spent time alone with God. Notice what happened. The boat was already many miles away from the land, battered by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Now listen to me. What happened? They went to the boat in accordance to the will of Jesus. While in the boat, what happened? A typhoon was developing. There was a problem. Principle number one, you got to understand. When you want to walk on water, you got to obey. Obedience does not exempt you from adversity. Let me repeat. If you follow Jesus, it does not mean you will never be tested. It does not mean there won't be adversity. Many people have wrong theology. If you watch television, if your Christianity is based on watching TV, some are good speakers, but many of them will teach you half-truth. They give you the impression, if you come to Jesus, all your problems will be solved. That is not true. If you come to Jesus, will there be problems? Yes or no? Why? You have to understand, problems are never meant to destroy us. Problems are meant to make you stronger. So obedience does not exempt us from adversity. Now, in Tagalog, if you were the disciples, you obeyed Jesus, you got into the boat, and then suddenly there's this hurricane, there's this typhoon, what will you be saying in Tagalog?
Labo, labo nito. In English, fuzzy, fuzzy, labo.
Some people are angry with Jesus. Because when you began to follow Him, when you began to walk with Him, you began to have problems. Nagtatampo kayo.
you are sulking. You know, most people, when they're not happy with Jesus, because Jesus is not giving them their expectations, Jesus is not answering their prayers, and they are having problems. You know what they do? Because they don't understand these things. Usually they sit at the back and they come late. But not this group, okay? Not this group. But when you sing, you don't sing to the Lord. You know why? You're not happy with Jesus. Because you don't understand why you're having problems. Let's read this. Obedience does not exempt us from adversity. Let me tell you the story of Joseph. How many of you know Joseph? Raise your hand. When Joseph became a slave, the Bible tells us his master's name was Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar was a lonely woman. She kept seducing Joseph. Not just once, not just twice. Every day, she kept seducing Joseph. If you were Joseph, what would you do? You know, if somebody seduces you once, you can overcome that. If you are tempted twice, you can still overcome it. If you are tempted every day, you know what some people say? God's will. God's will. This is what happened. Joseph answered, "There is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Joseph did not say, "How can I do this affair? How can I do this thing and sin against your husband?" Joseph was God-centered. You see, holiness is not based on legalism. You want to be holy? You have to fall in love with Jesus. You cannot live a holy life if it is based on legalism. I must do this. I cannot do this. I must do this. I cannot do this. That's why in this country, we have legalism, we have religion, but we have no holiness. Because holiness comes when you fall in love with Jesus. When you love Jesus, you will want to resist sin. Joseph loved the Lord. He said, "How can I do this great evil and sin against God?" Notice the next verse. It came about, she spoke to Joseph. How often? Day after day. He did not listen to her, to lie with her, to be with her. Listen to me. Those grammar are important. Number one, he did not listen. Number two, he did not what? Lie with her or be with her. You got to run from temptation. The problem with most of us men, how do we run from temptation? Instead of running this way, we run this way. Listen more. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way to overcome sin is to run. Amen? But Joseph did the right thing. Joseph did not follow the desires of his flesh. And because he did the right thing, he was maligned. When he was maligned, he was sent to jail. They came up with a false charge. They accused him of something that is not true. In Tagalog, what do you say? Ang labo, labo naman. Do you understand? Joseph was standing up for God. And because he stood up for God, he ended up in jail. Look at what the Bible says. Joseph's master took him, put him in jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He was there in jail. Have you ever done something right? And then you were accused of something that's not true? Joseph experienced this. When you are in the will of God, adversity is not far behind. Because your faith will be tested. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, your faith will be tested. Tell your neighbor, your obedience will be tested. Now most people, it is at this point they give up. At this point, they will say in Tagalog, "Ang labo, labo talaga." In English, hazy, hazy. No more. I surrender. I will no longer follow the Lord because Christianity is useless. I follow Jesus. I'm in trouble. Forget it. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens to you is beyond your control. How you respond to what happens to you is everything. Adversity will not make you a better person. It is how you process adversity that will make you a better person. In the case of Joseph, look at verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph, extended kindness to him, gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. You see, whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, whether you are a follower of Jesus or not a follower of Jesus, you will have trials. The difference is this. If you follow Jesus and you have problems, you can be sure of one thing. Look at verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. In the midst of problem, I have good news for you. The Lord is with you. So tell your neighbor, the Lord is with you. And that is why, if you want to walk on water, number one, obedience. Say that with me, obedience. Obedience does not exempt you from testing. In fact, look at this verse. Peter wrote this years later. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. In this you greatly rejoice. Notice the attitude of testing. Peter said, I greatly rejoice. You see, some of us are afraid of testing because you don't understand testing. Peter said, you have to greatly rejoice. Why? Even though now for a little while, all earthly sufferings are only a little while. Continue reading. If necessary, in other words, God will never allow you to suffer arbitrarily. The reason must be good. Why do I know that? When I became a father, I love my children. I will not want my children to suffer. Never. But why do I allow them to go through adversity at times? It is for their good. Would you believe it? My wife told our children, there was a time when they were growing up, no helper service. They wash their own clothes, clean their own toilets, fix their own beds. You know why? My wife wanted my children to go through a bit of adversity so that as they become men and women of God, they will not be spoiled. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we need adversity. Understand? Now look at the next verse. Verse 7. Verse 6. You have been distressed by various trials. Now remember that word trials? Exactly the same word used last Sunday. Perazzo. Testing. You are not exempted from testing. Read the next word. That the proof of your faith. Notice, the proof of your faith. So when trials come, when you obey God, it will be tested. The Bible says the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants you to have the big picture, the big perspective. All testing, all sufferings are only temporal. The reality is our life does not end here on earth. Because we were made for eternity. And whatever is happening to you now will redound for the glory of the Lord. So don't be afraid of testing. The boat was already many miles away. Look at verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Now, what time is fourth watch of the night? It's around 4 a.m. in the morning. Why did Jesus wait? Why wait for so long? Why do you have to appear at 4 o'clock in the morning? You see, the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. Jesus allowed them to go through the typhoon, the hurricane. They were rowing and rowing. They were so tired. But the Bible tells us, at the fourth watch, not earlier, not later, at the right time, but the Bible tells us, what happened? He came. What is the lesson for you and for me? When God allows you adversity, He has not forgotten you. But He knows the perfect time so that you will learn your lesson to the maximum. You know, J.R. did not learn his lesson when he was younger. You know why? Because somebody bailed him out. So he kept going back, doing the same thing. Am I correct, brother? But God is different. God loves you. He knows what is best for you. Immediately, Jesus, let's read 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened. It is a ghost. They cried out in fear. Notice, they cried out, literally. Wah! Can you imagine these men, macho men? Why did they cry out? Immediately, Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Can I tell you? You have to understand, these men are not stupid. They know for a fact, human beings do not walk on water. They know that. So if you see somebody walking on water, it is not a human being. What is it? Understand? Jesus wanted them to learn a lesson that Jesus is more than a man. He is the Son of God. Jesus wanted the disciples to learn who He is. That's why many people are not excited about Christianity, because you don't know Jesus. For some people, Christianity is just a religion. It is not a religion. It's about a person who claimed to be God, who claimed to be the Son of God, and He proved it when He walked on water, when He made 5 loaves, 2 fish to feed thousands of people. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He caused the dead to come back to life. And finally, He died and rose again. What more proof do you want that Jesus is more than a man? But until you believe that Jesus is more than a man, your Christianity is shallow. You will never trust Him. You know why? Most of us, we trust Him and we trust religion. You are afraid to entrust your entire life to Jesus because you don't know Him. Do you know why many people are not sure they're going to go to heaven? Because they are not trusting Jesus. They don't know who is Jesus. They don't really know Jesus died on the cross for all of their sins. Listen to me. When Jesus died on the cross, did He pay for your sins? Yes or no? Louder. Now, if you believe He died on the cross for all of your sins, who is this person who died for you on the cross? He is none other than Jesus, the Son of God. If He died for your sins and you ask Him to save you, will He save you? Louder. You see, once you know Jesus, your faith will grow. If you don't know Jesus, your faith will be shallow. Human extremity is the frequent meeting place with God. So God allows you to have problems, not to forsake you, to prepare your heart, to prepare your mind to meet Him. In all my experiences in life, it was during trials when I have learned more about Jesus. I have learned that nothing is impossible with God. I have learned that in the midst of trials, there are divine purposes that I don't understand. So some of you may be having problems right now with your husband, with your business. I don't know why. But one thing I do know. Keep obeying Jesus. Keep trusting Him. So number two, you got to get out of the boat. Say that with me. Get out of the boat. You want to walk on water? Alright, what must you do? Obey. And then, what must you do? Get out of the boat. Now, is it easy to get out of the boat? Let's look. When therefore they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, according to the Gospel of John, they beheld Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near the boat. They became afraid. He said to them, "It is I." Now, that word, "it is I," do not be afraid, from the Greek language, it is called ego eimi. Ego eimi is used as follows. Example, in the Gospel of John, the Jews therefore said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and now have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, ego eimi, I am." So when Jesus said, "It is I," He is saying, "I am." Now, when was the first time this word is used in the Bible? "I am." When? This is first used in the book of Exodus. When Moses was asking God, "Lord, who am I to go see Pharaoh and tell him to let my people leave Egypt? Who am I to approach the people and tell them, God tells me you will leave Egypt?" Moses said, "Who am I?" You see, Moses lacked confidence. Moses was inadequate. Moses said, "Lord, hindi ko kaya ito. In English, I cannot handle this." Now, what did the Lord tell Moses? You want to find out? Ego eimi. Here's the word. Moses said to God, I am going to the sons of Israel. I shall say to them, the God of your father sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What's your name? Look at the next verse. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you." Can you imagine if you were to interview me on television and then you ask me, "What is your name?" and I say, my name is I am. Yabang-yabang mo, I am. You know what Jesus is saying? You know what God is saying? Moses asked God, what's your name? I am who I am. The great I am. Do you know what God is saying? This speaks of His eternity. I am. Before there was time, I am God. And someday, billions and billions and billions of years later, eternity, I am. God has no time. He has no beginning. He has no time. God is the great I am. Meaning, nothing is impossible with God. There is nothing He does not know because He is the great I am. Jesus wanted the disciples to learn something. I am not just the God who can provide for you. I am the great I am. I will control the weather. I can control the sea. I can walk on water because I am who I am. How big is your Jesus? If you have a small Jesus, you worry. If you have a small Jesus, you are not going to get out of the boat. You know why? Look at verse 27. Take courage, it is I. Ego eimi. Do not be afraid. Peter answered and said, if it is you, command me to walk on the water. You know, Peter was pretty smart. He tells Jesus, Jesus, I don't want to be impulsive, but I want to see you. I want to go to you. But I have a problem. I got this water. Command me. Remember that word? Command me. In other words, Peter was not presumptuous. When God tells you something, when God tells you to go out of the boat, what must you do? Get out of the boat. Jesus said, come. That's a command in the Greek language. Come. And Peter got out of the boat. Now, I want you to imagine now, okay? You are the disciples, you are Peter. How do you get out of the boat? The boat was shaking, you know, the wind, the wave. Is it easy to get out of the boat? I tell you what Peter did, okay? I can imagine. He clung to the boat, okay? Then he put his foot down. Hirap, hirap. You know why? It's never easy. Have you seen that movie, Indiana Jones? Okay. A similar thing happened when Indiana Jones had to walk over a cliff. 1,000 feet deep. He had to cross, but he cannot see the bridge. But he had to walk by faith. You want to see that movie? Oh, sige. Let's show them. 1 minute. What does it mean to get out of the boat?
Thank you.
It's called the first step principle. The hardest thing to do is to get out of the boat. If you get out of the boat, that means you leave your comfort zone. For many people, they prefer to stay in the boat. Because to stay in the boat is more secure for many people. But when God calls you, come. You got to be willing to get out of the boat. You got to get your feet wet. Many people will not want to get out of the comfort zone. I remember a lady who was living in with a man. That was her source of comfort. Because the man provided money for her. The man was meeting her emotional needs, except for one problem. The man was married to another person. This girl became a follower of Jesus. Once you come to know Jesus, slowly but surely, you learn to get out of the boat. She heard the call, come. Leave your comfort zone. She finally told the man, we cannot continue like this. The man got angry. The man got his gun. And the man said, who is the guy? You see, for the man, it must be another man. The girl said, there's no other man. It is Jesus. You know what the man said? I cannot compete with Jesus. Go. This girl had a problem of supporting herself, had a problem of loneliness because she took the first step. Would you believe what's happening to her right now? She has her own security agency. Certain things you will never experience until you get out of the boat. I remember a lady who heard my wife give a seminar in the States about home education, that parents are responsible to raise their children, that the best way to raise your children is to educate them in your own house. You be the teacher. This girl somehow was stirred up in her spirit. God was telling her, get out of your comfort zone. Her comfort zone was her job because she makes good income. She told her husband, honey, I think I want to quit because I want to focus my energy on our children. The husband prayed about it and both of them said, yes, quit. The moment she quit, you won't believe this. The next month, the husband got promoted. He got a raise that is more than the money that this girl is making. What's my point? You can never outgive God. But you got to take the first step. When you take the first step, something happens. Now, is it easy to get out of the boat? Not easy. For some people, the boat is their job. For some people, your comfort zone is a relationship. For some people, it's your position. I remember Ron Bronsky. Ron Bronsky was a famous gangster in Chicago. They know him. He shoot rival gangs. There was a warrant of arrest for him. He ran away. He went to Portland, Oregon. In Portland, Oregon, he lived a new life. He met Jesus, got married, had a daughter named Olivia. He heard the voice, come, get out of your boat. What was his boat? His boat was to hide in Portland, Oregon. God was telling him, go back to Chicago. There's a warrant of arrest for you. Now, if you were Ron Bronsky, will you go back to Chicago? Not easy. Ron got out of the boat. He said goodbye to his family, going back to Chicago. He gave himself up to the police. He was interviewed by a guy who was an atheist. After interviewing him, the guy was shocked. The guy said, this guy has really changed. Because Ron Bronsky was no longer a gangster. They look at the way he speak, they look at his life, he was changed. But the law is the law. So he was put on court trial. The trial proceeded. But something happened to the judge. The judge made a decision to put this guy on probation. 15 years later, this atheist reporter became a Christian. Because of the testimony of Ron Bronsky, he was so impressed. Because the gangster said, before I thought the best life is to be a gangster, that is freedom, I discovered after coming to Jesus, that the greatest freedom is to be free in Christ. Wow. So this guy was affected. Eventually he became a Christian, the reporter. He went back to Portland, Oregon
to look for this guy. What is his name? Ron Bronski. So he is an investigative reporter. He located his pastor. Where is Ron? The pastor said, Ron is no longer with us. His face dropped. What happened to Ron? The pastor said, don't be sad. Ron is now a pastor. Is God amazing? I tell you, God is amazing. He can do something beyond your wildest expectation. What must you do? Look at me. Get out of your boat. So what is your boat? You will know your boat. Whatever you are afraid of. What are you afraid of? Jesus says, come. Is it easy to leave your boat? Last, when you leave your boat, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. What does it mean to fix your eyes on Jesus? The Bible tells us, everybody, let's read this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice, fix your eyes on Jesus. Our problem is we fix our eyes on people. When you fix your eyes on people, you will stumble, you will sink. Years ago, when I was a young Christian, the church where I was worshiping, this is years ago, in the late 60s. I'm still young, okay? There was a split in our church. But I praise God for my pastor. My pastor taught us something very true. He said, do not look at people. In Tagalog, huwag titingin sa tao. In Chinese, what is it? Umtang kwa lang. If you look at people, you will stumble. The best pastor will fail you. The best husband will fail you. The best wife will fail you. And many people, because of looking at people, they give up on Christianity. You know what they say? Eh, kung yan ang Kristiyano, ayaw ko na. Have you heard of that statement? Kung yan ang Kristiyano, ayaw ko na. What's their problem? They are not fixing their eyes on Jesus. They are fixing their eyes on people. People will cause you to stumble big time. So because of that, I grew up as a young Christian, learning not to look at people. I keep my eyes on Jesus. So when people fail me, when people fall into sin, I don't allow that to bother me. You know why? That's their problem. My problem is I walk with Jesus. Understand? But whatever you do with your life, that's your problem. I'm not going to make your problem my problem. I have enough problem of my own. Understand? So may I suggest from now on, do not look at people, even your D group leaders, even the leaders of CCF, you pray for us, you pray for them, but don't allow us to cause you to stumble. However, I warn the pastor. I tell all the pastors, people are watching us. Whether you like it or not, they're watching us. However, I'm telling you, don't watch pastors, okay? Keep your eyes on who? Jesus. But then, if you don't watch people, if you don't look at people, you focus on what? Circumstances. Look at Peter. Look at verse 30. Seeing the wind, Peter saw the wind. He became afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. What happened to Peter? He did not fix his eyes on Jesus. He began to see the wind. By the way, did he see the wind? What did he see? He saw the effects of the wind. He saw the waves. Nagising si Peter. Wait! Anong ginawa ko? Here is the lesson. When you fix your eyes on circumstances, on people, and not on Jesus, you will sink. Many people don't connect faith and the outcome of your life. You know, there are many people today who don't walk by faith. You are full of unbelief. You are so negative about life. It will affect the outcome of your life. Don't say there's no connection. Look at the connection. Peter walked on water while looking at Jesus. The moment he stopped looking at Jesus, what happened to him? He sank. And your Christian life is equally the same. If you don't focus on Jesus, you will spiritually sink. But I praise God. Peter uttered the shortest prayer in the whole Bible. What is that prayer? Lord, save me. What can you learn? It does not matter how long is your prayer. In fact, I tell pastor, when you pray publicly, make it short. You know, some people, when they pray publicly, they make it so long. Lord, you know, after 10 minutes, Lord. No, no. The effectiveness of your prayer has nothing to do with the number of words. It has to do with the heart. Be sincere, be honest. Lord, save me. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus say, teka muna, teka muna. I will let you drown first. Malunon ka na muna. No, no, no. He did not do that. You know what the Bible tells us? Immediately, look, immediately, Jesus what? Stretched out his hand. Immediately. And then Jesus taught him a lesson. O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Because faith affects the outcome of your life. You know, Jesus did not give the lecture to Peter while he was sinking. Okay, before I save you, lesson number one. No, no. Save him first. Then you teach him. That is the way of God. Grace. Always grace first. After grace, you learn. And that's why we are saved by grace. Jesus died for us. Now that you are saved by grace, he now teaches you. Live a holy life. You will not be holy if you don't look at Jesus. If you keep looking at the Ten Commandments, if you keep looking at the law, if you keep looking at people, it will never produce holiness. Holiness is produced when you fall in love with Jesus, when you live by grace. Lord, I thank you. You always look at Jesus. He died for you. Are our sins forgiven? Yes or no? Yes. Louder. Are your sins forgiven?
Yes.
Why? That is the issue. Do you know why? If you say, because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Correct answer. If you say, because I go to church every day, I go to CCF every day, I attend Bible study every day, I give money to the poor every day. And you know why? It's not faith. Your faith is in yourself. Your faith is in good works. Friends, put your faith in Jesus, what he has done, and not in what you have done for him. Because what you do for him will never be enough. How can you ever pay for your salvation? Impossible. I praise God. Jesus died for you and for me. Praise God. Let's give him a clap of appreciation. Now, the most amazing thing happened. Verse 32. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. My goodness. If you were the disciples, what will you think? Wow. Remember, what did I say? Wow. Look at the next verse. Those who were in the boat worship him. Why? Everybody, please read. Why? They learned something. What did they learn? That Jesus is not just a man. That Jesus is the Son of God. And you will never experience this unless you go through the storms of life. Unless you get out of the boat. Out of 12 disciples, only one walked on water. The rest were afraid. You see, if you are afraid to fail, if you're afraid to get out of the boat, you don't understand the meaning of faith. Faith means, in spite of fear, in spite of my uncertainties, because of who Jesus is, and that's what he wants me to do, I will trust him. Now, when you get out of the boat, two things will possibly happen. Number one, you will sink. Praise God, if you sink, Jesus is there. Turn to him. And number two, you will walk on water. Is it worth the price? Peter will never forget this experience for the rest of his life. Ladies, gentlemen, God wants you to experience, wow, walking on water. But what must you do? Obedience. Don't be afraid of adversity. Number two, get out of your boat. Whatever that boat is, what are you afraid of? And number three, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the object of our faith. The Bible tells us they worshiped Jesus. This is the first account of the disciples worshiping Jesus. Before this, he was just a great teacher, just a great prophet. And now they realize he is the Son of God. Do you know who is this man?
He lost his job, defeated for state legislature. 1 year later, he went bankrupt. 3 years later, had a nervous breakdown. His girlfriend left him. 2 years later, he was defeated for speaker. 5 years later, he was defeated for nomination for Congress. 5 years later, he lost in the renomination. 1 year later, he was rejected for government office. 5 years later, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. 2 years later, defeated vice presidential nomination. 2 years later, defeated again for U.S. Senate. 2 years later, elected president of the United States of America. The greatest president of America. Abraham Lincoln. People don't realize he was a true Christian. He was the one who took the risk to abolish slavery. He was the one responsible for the Civil War. People accuse him, but when you walk with the Lord, you'll get out of the boat. It might be difficult. You will be attacked, you will be criticized, but as long as you listen to Jesus, you will not sink. You may sink, but don't be afraid to fail. Never allow failure as an excuse to never try again. You must learn from your failures. Learn from it. Capitalize on your failures. But don't allow failures to become an excuse to not try. And I know some of you, God is telling you to step out to serve Him. But you are giving excuses. Why? Because you're afraid of failure. Don't do that. Step out. As we close, I want you to hear a song written by one of the members of CCF. And I pray it will speak to you. Thank you. Find this song special? It's very special to me. It was written by my daughter when she was making tough decisions. But God inspired her to write the music and the lyrics. Some of you have been asked by God to get out of the boat. But for whatever reason, you want to keep staying in your boat. A life of compromise will not allow you to experience the life that God wants you to have. Let me close with this wonderful quotation given to me by someone. God reserves something special for you. There's more to your life than you ever thought. There is more to your story than you have read. There is more to your song than what you have sung. A good author saves the best for last. A great composer keeps his finest for the finish. And God, I will add, the author and perfecter of our faith, has done the same for you. Get out of the boat. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, I know we've spoken to many people here. You want them to surrender their lives to you. You want them to transfer their faith from the boat to you. Lord, their boats can be money, a business, a place. Lord, whatever it is, help us to realize that the safest place to be is to be with you. Speak to the hearts of your people. If God has spoken to you and you want to invite Jesus as your Savior today, it is not the length of your prayer, it is your heart. Pray this prayer with me, something like this. Lord Jesus, I need you. I don't have peace. I don't have assurance of forgiveness. I ask you to save me today. Be my Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.